Oh shit. Oh shit. My brother Lee Syatt, Friday, the church. We're back, bitches, like herpes. Like herpes in a month. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Happy St. Patty's Day before it even fucking happens. Get an attorney before you get that DUI, cocksucker.
Jesus Christ.
I love it. The church of what's happening now. Kick that motherfucker, Lee. Oh, shit. We came to get down. That's how we show up from the church. You're not going to show up with fucking one gun and no bullets. You're showing up to get down, cocksuckers. It's Friday. Get your shit together. I've been gone for 8 days. You're slipping. Lee's drinking fucking carrots and shit. Jump around. What's happening, motherfuckers? A beautiful day to be alive. Friday, March, what is it? 14th, 15th. Who 15th, the fuck knows? Who gives a French
yeah, 15th
fuck?
Now.
The month is half gone. What have you done, cocksucker? I'm here with my co-host, the main dog, Lee Syatt, looking skinnier than fucking ever. He's starting to look like a carrot from behind. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying, buddy. 52 pounds.
52 fucking pounds. You know what? Part of the church is just trying. Just showing up with a fucking gun and going, hey, I showed up. What are you going to do? Beautiful fucking day. What's happening, Lee? This podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Don't fuck around. Go to Onnit.com. Get your shit together. Go to the box. Preston Church. Get your little fucking discount and get your life started. A lot of shit been going on. We haven't talked. But I'm back, bitches. What's happening, Lisa?
I'm feeling great, but I'm more interested. How is New Orleans?
New Orleans is a beautiful fucking Catholic fucking city. It is. It really is.
You think it's Catholic?
Yeah, they got churches fucking everywhere.
So it's just that one
church
area?
Everywhere. Underground, on ground. They got them everywhere. On fucking boats. They don't give a fuck. I walked around Sunday on the Lord's Day. I called like two different church services. It was just amazing, man. Got a cookie. Got cleansed. Met some fucking cool people. Line Utida. My Friday night show was a little slippy. Sunday night, we rocked the fucking house together. I want to give some shout-outs down there to New Orleans, to special fucking people, my man. Dan, the fireman, brought me two sweatshirts, a T-shirt. I got one for Lee Syatt from Jefferson Parish. I love you. I feel bad I didn't get to see you guys. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was on the set. And Saturday and Sunday, I had family down there, Lee.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of
nice.
Weird. Yeah, the people from Boulder. Wait, we'll get to the fucking chef. Whatever the fuck is Chef Ron, whatever. I love this fucking guy. The smile and the warmth in these people's faces. You know, Jake came up to me. I didn't get to see him. I smoked some fucking tremendous reefer.
Oh, cool.
That Chef Rob gave me some fucking reefer. I took it back. Because you have California weed, and the California weed is very good and it's exceptional. But we've been smoking that same guy grows that year round.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. These guys brought me some Blue Dream and something else. I was fucking stoned. The first 2 days, I ain't gonna lie to you people, I'm over points. Fucking, I'm so fucking gone. Fucking, what's his name? Dolce can't even help me. He's all fucked up. I went down to New Orleans. Listen, if you're a fat fuck, don't go to New Orleans. Okay? If you're a fat fuck and you like food, don't go to New Orleans. There was a Subway sandwich shop. That motherfucker was deserted. People wouldn't even go in there. I was gonna shoot somebody like Kennedy from a... Who the fuck would go to Subway sandwiches when you live in New Orleans?
Yeah, you call me like the first night and you're like, I'm just sitting outside watching it, hoping someone goes in so I can beat them up.
I swear to God, it's like a bitch slap them. Because across the street there's a place that has gumbo for $4.99. So go fuck yourself with your $5 fucking sandwich. Because even a bad gumbo is a $6 up here. Like a bad restaurant in New Orleans is a fucking $8 up here. You and I both know that. We got okay food up here in California. It's passive, so we eat it. The sun's out, the birds are chirping, and there's fucking weed, so we accept it. But it's not the fucking shit I had in New Orleans. I had a steak at Mr. John's Steakhouse with a fucking crab cake and a salad. Oh. God damn, Lee.
Now, you have to tell me, because I've been telling people since I've been on this, I think more about food than I do about sex. Did you have a shrimp po' boy?
Three of them. First night in, I got a shrimp po' boy.
Jesus.
And I bit into it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's shrimp on bread with lettuce and a tomato. Who invented it? And then something, the motherfucking sauce they put on it, grabs you. It's like a finger in the ass. Like she's sucking your pipe, but all of a sudden she pops the finger. You don't know what feels good. You know if it's a fucking blowjob or the finger in the ass. And all of a sudden, when she takes her mouth off your pipe and you're leaking everywhere, you're like, God damn, that finger in the ass is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. It's Friday, bitches. I had just an amazing, like, I could say that. It was amazing. No. I shouldn't say that shit. It was a good time in New Orleans. It was really cool. It really opened my eyes. I wasn't aware of the beauty down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Josh Wolf had been telling me for years and a couple people. But when I went down there, it was fucking scary, all right? And I'm not scared of those fucking towns like that, but I was scared that night. I took my cocaine and went right back to fucking Houston. And it was just differently. It was a real nice experience. The people were really nice. You know, they don't know I'm fucking nuts and stuff. The La Nuit Theater was off the fucking chain.
Oh, cool.
The only thing that sucked about La Nuit Theater is at the end, we were smoking dope outside, and the people were like, you gotta go inside the bar. The neighbor's gonna complain. That's the only bad thing I had about that neighborhood. Excuse me. But then I realized that you can't have weed down there. They'll throw you under the fucking jail.
With Bourbon Street there? They care about weed?
Yeah, that's what I heard. People like, dog, don't fuck around down here with weed.
Okay.
They'll throw you under the fucking jail.
Jesus.
So, I was careful after that. But as far as the other shit, the movie, Lee, goddamn, I'm a lucky motherfucker.
Really?
If people only knew, you know, like, you see this. If people only knew how lucky, like, you are. But the luck comes from trying.
Yeah.
That's what people don't know. That you make your own luck, but you gotta really hang in there. You know, this movie here, I auditioned bad for it. They told me when I got there, they're like, the first tape, what were you thinking? They go, when you came back the second time, you brought back some heat, and then you're so, you know, you're funny, like when you talk. So we brought you in, we had worked with you before. So, for starters, I didn't go in there and steal the role from anybody. It was mine to lose.
Yeah.
It was my role to lose.
That must be a new experience.
Like, what's that?
That, like, because you were used to fighting, and now you're, like, people are doing it with you in mind, and they
right.
want you.
So it was my role to lose, you know, and, I'm very fortunate there, but when you see that movie, you'll go, fucking Joey. No. I knew people. You know, I had worked with the guy before. It was a working experience before. But what was really crazy, I got this really weird thing down there. Now, I get down there on Friday.
Yeah.
I do La Nuit. Saturday, my family comes up. And then I had this kid, Mike Giacona, that I grew up with in North Bergen that lives in Jackson, Mississippi. And he came up. I haven't seen that motherfucker in 30 years. Last time I saw him, he was accusing me of robbing his house. So when I saw him, the first thing I said to him was, dog, I didn't fucking rob your house, which I really didn't.
That's the first thing he said?
Yeah, because 30 years ago, every time somebody's house got robbed, after a while, it was me.
Oh, yeah.
In the neighborhood. Oh, it was Joey. No, it wasn't fucking Joey, all right? You people are civilians. I was robbing drug dealers. Big fucking difference. But if you're a civilian that deals drugs, then I'd rob you too, but you got no problems. So that's the first thing I addressed. I got him right, and he goes, you know, I thought about it years later, blah, 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 blah. But he told me an interesting story. When we had grown up, Mike was a year or two younger than us.
Okay.
And Mike wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. Great looking guy, sweetheart, big kid. But when we were younger, you know, he had problems at the house and stuff, his mom, and the dad was cool, and the sister is my love. I grew up with the sister. The sister's one of my best friends in life. And Mike, his house got robbed. He hung out with those crazy white dudes that I grew up with downtown. Mike, the Dominic Special, who died on the THC, and Sabatino, and Carlos Perez, who I just saw in Miami. When I lived downtown by giving that terrorist, this is a crazy bunch of motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these guys were fucking crazy. He brought me a hemp bag.
Okay.
Those coffee bags. And
yeah.
He said, don't open it till you get back to your room. I want you to think about this hemp bag. And, you know, I've never had one of those things, but I remember when I was a kid, towards the end of my mom's life, she was running out of money. We had sold the bar.
Okay.
And we were up a way station for weed for somebody. I don't know. It was one of my mother's friends from the old days.
So you mean, like, they'd leave it in your basement
they'd
and then
come
get it?
They'd leave it in my basement and come get it, like, a week later. And
okay.
They left it in hemp bags.
Okay.
I mean, at one point, I had, like, three of those things in this little room. When you went into my garage and went upstairs in those days, if you looked down, there was a walkway that went down the stairs, and my mother had set up a bar down there with a refrigerator for meat.
Okay.
That's why I practiced karate when I was a kid. We went upstairs, and I had like a little punching bag, and I had a makiwara against the wall, and that I would punch, and I had all these little things down there, but in there was a little boiler room.
Okay.
That they had wrapped up, and under the boiler, this is the weirdest thing about giving that terrorist, a lot of people to know, under the boiler, if you pushed it over a little bit, a person could fit through there, and it would take you under the street where I took you.
Jesus Christ.
Where I took you. And you could walk up the fucking street underneath because that was all an orphanage. And the 20... Lee, it's fucking crazy. I should have talked about it in the documentary and I didn't. That under that street, there's like a fucking walkway for a kid. Like the hallways from the orphanage.
Did they sneak out or...
You know, Lee, I don't know. I never really thought about it. But our houses, that pipe, whatever, that walkway, it was like a small walkway. You could connect with the other houses.
Oh,
you could break
shit.
In if you had to. I guess the other, it leads into the other. It's crazy shit. Anyway, in that little closet was where she had the bales of weed.
Okay.
And one time, you know, I was tight with Dominic Special, very tight. We went to football camp together. And one day I went down, my mother came upstairs. She goes, one of the bales is missing. She said, did you take it? And I go, no. I was stealing from the top and selling it, but I wouldn't take a whole fucking bale.
Yeah.
And it was this weed that the dealers did not know. Listen, this is the funniest thing. These were the dumbest weed dealers in the world. When I found out about this, two ways. A, the first the two or three weeds they had were good. Then after that, they started getting this weed that the people who processed it grinded the seeds into it and left the seeds in the weed for weight.
Okay.
So when you sparked it in a pipe, it would blow up.
Oh, shit.
Because seeds blow up. So we called it explosive seed. So let's say weed was $25 in those days for a little bag. I would sell it for $20 or $15 because it was explosive weed. It would blow up while you were smoking. If you were smoking a joint, you couldn't smoke in a joint. It would keep turning off.
Oh, shit.
It's a fucking nightmare. So the weed was ruined.
Okay.
And the second batch of weed, another weed that got you fucked up and it tasted like salt. And what happened was, they must have gotten, this was Colombian weed. They were bringing it up with the blow in those days.
Okay.
These people she knew, because they had cocaine down there too. Then the weed became cocaine later on. But
okay.
That summer of 79, it was weed. And somebody robbed my house. I mean, I was heartbroken. And I found out that Dominic had something to do with it. Dominic Special. And I was really heartbroken. And Sabatino came to me and told me who it was, the people who were responsible. But there was a kid they lied to me about. They said he was involved. He's on Facebook now. And I remember I got him by the pool hall. And I called him. It was like a 12. It was like a ring, like a small ring.
Okay.
You know when you walk into a business, they have an outer thing with glass, and you
yeah.
open up a second door? I caught him in the first one.
Okay.
And I fucked him up in that first fucking little ring there. He couldn't get out of there.
So how old were you?
I had to be 15.
Jesus.
Okay, so now... they found that it was Dominic Special and Joe Rayo. This other, there were the Rayo brothers. One became a cop. And the young ones, the two twins, one was a decent motherfucker. And the other one was crazy. In fact, he murdered somebody and went to jail for 20 years. Now he came out and he's still fucking crazy because I talked to his older brother. No, this is some crazy fucking neighbors. This is white kids that were fucking crazy. So he said, he told me an interesting story. You know, when I told him about that, I didn't rob his house. He goes, let me tell you my story. He goes, after Dominic drowned on the THC crystal, you know, he was eating angel dust.
Yeah.
He goes, I went to his house a year later to give my apologies to his mother. Because we were all kids. It's like if I hung out with you since we were kids and all of a sudden your mother. Nobody wanted to go over there because every time you went over there, the mother broke down.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't want to come to your house if you're going to break down on me. But we didn't understand. We were fucking kids.
Yeah.
We were 16, so I avoided the mother. He went over to the house. Like, I seen the mother at the funeral, whatever, a few days later, but I would never fall into the clutches of the house. That's where they got you.
Of course.
So we went over there, and he said he went over to visit with the mother, and the mother said to him, do you want to see Dominic's room? And they went upstairs, and when he opened the door, the stereo he had robbed from Michael Giacchino. Can you imagine going to see somebody, and the dead fucking kid that is dead, you went to pay, robbed your fucking house?
What did he do?
He said he didn't know what the fuck to do. He was never so hurt in all his life. This is the fucking environment. I was down there with these little, the THCs and the fucking crystals and that shit took over their little fucking minds, man. So it was just crazy. Michael showed up after 30 years and I got to give him a hug. All this out of fucking New Orleans. But Monday, so Sunday I hung out with Michael and then this other family, the Koches from Boulder. The Koches are family.
Okay.
Because when I smacked my ex-husband's boyfriend,
your ex-wife's boyfriend, yeah,
I wasn't allowed to pick up my daughter.
Okay.
I had to send somebody. So I used to have to send the Koches in Boulder. Joe Koch and his wife, Mary. Joe is a bad motherfucking skinny dude from Mississippi that owns a bagel shop down there. He went back after Boulder and he's done well. And he's my brother. I love him with all my heart. His wife is from Michigan, Mary, and I love her too with all my heart. I mean, solid fucking people from Boulder that I've kept in touch with. Since the early 90s, I've been friends with these people. And they lost a daughter. I don't know if you ever heard me tell that story.
No.
That they had two daughters, Emma, and I forgot the older one. And she called me on a Friday to ask me my address, the older one, because she was graduating high school. They were doing a formal.
Okay.
In Mississippi. Julia. I still got the card on my wall, dog. So she goes, I need your card. your address to send you a card for my formal, and you put $100 or $200 in the envelope and you send it back. It's like a wedding invitation. So Monday, I'm sitting outside. I got the call Friday. I got the call Saturday afternoon. I talked to the daughter, Julia, and then I talked to Joe Koch.
Okay.
And they said they were going to send me a card. Or Friday, one of those. Let's just say it was one of those weekend nights. And Monday, I'm sitting in my yard, and I got a call from an old friend of mine in Boulder that said to me that, had I heard from Joe Koch? And I go, no. He goes, I have bad news for you. Julia died in a car accident that night. And that next Tuesday morning, I went to the mailbox, and I got the card. I never opened up the card. Yeah, fucking, they showed up. You know, and they mentioned Julia. I mean, it's been about 4 or 5 years now, and I know it was tough on her at first. I couldn't imagine losing a fucking child.
No.
They showed up. They were tough. We had a fucking great time, and that was it. But New Orleans was fucking tremendous.
Yeah.
And the movie set, you know, I got to tell you guys a story because this is it, guys. This is just to tell you how fucking life turns out sometimes. So Monday, I have to go on the set. So I basically work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
I go in at 12, but my sets and my scenes not going to be till about 4.
Okay.
And it's just me and De Niro.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Now, I had already gone on the set and watched De Niro and LL Cool J and all this shit going down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And John Bernthal from Walking Dead.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So he's in it. He plays the son to De Niro, and the little kid is adorable. So, I see this, Lee. You know, I see this. I inhale it. De Niro walks past. He says hello. They introduce him. I'm playing Mike. They introduce me to LL Cool J. Todd is his real name.
Okay. So, do they call him Todd or LL Cool J?
Yeah, they call him Todd. Okay. You know? So, everybody was very nice. You know, I mean, listen, when you meet him, what are you going to say? Oh, he was a douchebag from the first meeting. Everybody was very nice. And then I went back to my trailer.
Nice.
And I started thinking about the scene, Lee. And all of a sudden, I started getting anxiety.
Really?
Which is called, no. Anxiety is called, don't be such a fucking pussy. It's called, you're a fucking pussy disease. And most people have it.
Everyone does.
We all have to stop being a little fucking pussy. But I got it badly. I mean, I was ready to pack my clothes.
Oh.
Lee, that's how fucking bad I get it. So for you people out there that think you have problems and shit, listen, man, you never overcome it. That's the battle, is getting out there. Leave for 35 minutes, I was sweating profusely out of my armpits and my neck. I even got the little dirt on your neck. You know when you get that little dirt on your neck from the sweat? I called like 4 or 5 friends of mine. It's called don't be a pussy fucking syndrome, bro. It's not anxiety or ADD. It's called you're a fucking pussy. And you got to get it together. You know, you worked hard to get this. You know what I'm saying? Like, we work hard, or this is the next step in our life. It can happen when you're going to go on a diet, any big change in your life, you're going to get this. You always get that little doubt, and if that doubt fucking beats you, you're a dead man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you used to say, you know, this is the last day I'm going to go on a diet, and the next thing you know, you're a fucking Burger King. You know, once I'm never going to lose weight. We get the fucking, we hex ourselves.
Yeah.
And man, I still got it. 20 years, I still got it. But what kept me alive was thinking, what if I walked out of here? What am I going to tell these motherfuckers?
Oh, yeah.
That I'm a pussy? What am I going to tell the church guys? If I didn't have these guys, I would have probably walked out.
Yeah, that's the entire, for people who don't, I do little YouTube videos. And they only get a couple hundred views. I think one's up to 500. But I do it because I know if I didn't do it for a day, they'd start yelling at me. And it's really helped.
Oh, so, no, you guys are bad. You guys always say, oh, well, Joey, you inspire me. Well, listen, motherfuckers, you inspire me. Because I tell you what, I had anxiety bad. That's why I started going to acupuncture. I took the pills they gave me. They suck. If the doctor gives you pills for anxiety, just get rid of them. That's hydro fucking chloroquine shit from Japan to Nevada and Russia. That just goes to kill you. That's Chernobyl pills. Throw that shit away. Go to acupuncture, run. Smoke a little bit of weed and write down what comes to your mind and what your fucking fears are. Because that's what I had to do. I had to write down, why am I scared of going in there and doing a scene with this fucking De Niro guy? Who the fuck is this guy? You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck is this guy? I ran with Lee. I run with some fucking savages. You know what I'm saying? I had to get myself. And then I start thinking about the fucking I run with RJ Stracco and fucking Jill Himitsu. And I run with MB and the Podcast Pit and Greg Spears. And look at these fucking shots. Look at these people I got in my life. I got Travis. I got Ricky Park. I got Dylan Rankin. I got Alec Pace. Kyle Gore. We got some real motherfuckers, dog. We got Timmy Marcello making his fucking debut in MMA. We got Connor Hamilton and Connor fucking Hewen. So sometimes, yeah, bro, the anxiety takes a hold of you, and you start thinking of your life and what a piece of shit you are. But then you go, fuck it, they gotta suck my dick. We're in this together. And I went in there, dog, and when De Niro came, I just huffed and puffed. And when I had to do my lines with him, I just said the lines. And after I said the first fucking line, it was like fucking stealing me.
Yeah.
It was like stealing, dog. And it was stupid fucking lines. And he called me a fat bastard or something like that because I was sitting there reading the magazine. And I said, like, nice. You know? But once I said it, Lee, all the fear was gone. The fucking, the lifesaver, the life vest came off. I took my dick out in the pool and pissed in it, motherfucker. Let's hit some fucking music there. What do you got for me, Lee?
I got some King of Rock by Robert Johnson.
Oh, shit. Let's kick the lead. You smoking dope or what? Let's break out the bat of life.
We smoked about 18 joints already.
Who gives a fuck? Let's smoke this last limp dick here. Oh, shit. And I even told the devil so. Me his soul. And knock on doors. And when we're on the take, we're fresh out the box. Oh, shit. Lee Syatt, look at him juicing up a storm, eating carrots like a motherfucker. Oh, shit. It's Friday. Get up, cocksucker. Watch that fucking snatch. Smooth as others. What do you see on rock and roll? The fuck is wrong with this joint and shit? I had it in my drawer for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
This is radioactive.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll make it work.
I have a couple shout-outs. Scott Pellegrino, S.J. Pellegrino, he helped me out this week.
What'd he do?
He sent my resume over, and I got my new job. Starting in a couple weeks.
Lee's got more jobs than a fucking Jamaican. You understand me, people? Again, for you motherfucker, I can't find the job. This motherfucker's popping out jobs. He's working midnights, daylights. He don't give a fuck. He's worse than black people.
I'm trying, but I thought about something on the way home this morning that you talked about. And I thought about it when you were talking about what you were just talking about.
Some weed, you're going to talk.
Fuck you, man.
It's Friday morning. We got to get the party started. St. Valentine's Day. What is it? Patty's Day.
Yeah. So you always talk about like how when you look in your wallet and you see the SAG card, you can't really believe it. And I was thinking about it today. The next job I have is going to be my fourth production company. I've worked on some pretty big shows, and I've done this stuff with you, and it's crazy to think that just a few years ago, it would have blown my mind, and it's just I don't want to say boring, but it's like it's normal now for me, and it's I had a moment of oh holy shit, what's happening? I wasn't scared or anything, but it's like. You look down and you're in SAG and you're in a movie with De Niro and it's just a.
Listen, man, if you commit, what's that expression? No good deed goes
unpunished.
No, how can a good deed be punished? No good deed goes something.
I don't know.
I really believe it in my heart. If you had told me that when I was 27 or 30 years old, I would have told you to suck my dick and sniff my helmet. You follow me? Like, no good deed goes, whatever. And I tell you this as an uncle, you motherfuckers, as a brother, as a friend. If you put the time in sincerely in your fucking heart, shit starts to happen. The beauty is, once you see it unfold in front of you, and you're like sitting there going, holy fuck. I went from there to this step. You know, people think that I just met Joe Rogan one day and he put me on the podcast and we started rocking and rolling. No, I've been fighting, banging this out since 91.
Yeah.
I've done triple runs where you fucking up in the Pacific Northwest and you have to drive 8 hours in between gigs, slept on floors, went on Greyhound buses. I told you I got a blowjob from a chick from Buffalo to Syracuse. She was eluding not the law, but the health department. Nobody's ever got together with a girl that was looting the health department. She had fleas or gingivitis or something in her fucking mouth. I don't give a fuck. When you're on Greyhound, you take a blowjob from anything. You follow me? So,
that should be their slogan.
Greyhound, get your dick sucked. Right. You do. I'm telling you what. You're bored in your life. You're lonely. Take a fucking Greyhound. Take a Greyhound, dog, and keep an open fucking mind. You will meet some interesting goddamn people. I know I did.
Holy shit. I can't even imagine.
I met people at the bus station, took me to the house and fed me and shit, hung out. Didn't want to fuck me in the ass. It was amazing.
Yeah, did you hear about the Chinese one from Boston to New York that got shut down? They have one. It starts in Boston, but it goes both ways, and it's like $10. So it's crazy. It goes from Chinatown to Chinatown, and they recently shut it down because like the buses were like cracked underneath and like falling apart, and like one rolled over, and like
that's the Chinese community. Those motherfuckers are gangsters.
Oh yeah, I've heard people have been on it. They're like there've been chickens on the bus, and it's fucking. They don't give a shit.
They transport anything. Heroin, Chinese people, sandals, spare ribs. They don't give a fuck. That's how to make a living. You know what I'm saying? I'm DJ Run, I rock and rule. It's not a trick or treat, and it's not an April Fool. I ate some pretzels this morning when I got up. Some anti-fucking... Oh, shit.
He comes up to me. These are vegan pretzels. They're not vegan pretzels.
It says it right on it. You want me to show you?
They're weed pretzels that might be vegan, but you don't open up with vegan.
Vegan, right there. You want to read it, cocksucker?
I believe you.
No. Because you're trying to embarrass me in front of these people. Read this shit.
No, I'm not embarrassing you.
With the glasses, I can't tell, but...
This is why that poor flight attendant's probably out of a job. Because you said, oh, these are vegan. And they're not vegan. They're weed who happens to be vegan.
Hey, I didn't lie. Give us a movie review.
Yeah.
A real movie review.
Yeah. I have something to tell you, but yeah.
Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
How they do the movie reviews. Okay. So let's say somebody reviews the Church of What's Happening Now. And the Church of What's Happening Now is a shitty fucking podcast. It has Lee Syatt, an editor who plays a fucking mook, another fucking mook, Joe Diaz, the vulgar language. But it sends out a positive energy.
And they just take that part, yeah.
They'll just take that part.
Yeah.
You follow me? So they're not lying. It's vegan. I didn't lie. It's got weed. Big fucking deal. It's vegan. You're a vegan.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of movies, I had an interview Friday, and then before work, I was going to go see a movie, and I went and saw that 21 and Over one, but in the middle, like 20 minutes in, the other company called, I had to leave. It was so bad.
No.
It was so awful. And like I've only walked out from one movie before in my life, and I didn't mind walking out of this one. It was just...
No.
It was so awful. I mean, maybe it could have gotten better, but...
I would have paid the $8 to see a little Chinese guy do the robot.
I didn't even make it that far.
No, it was bad.
Yeah, I mean...
They can't make a good fucking movie no more. No. They can't try. Nothing. The other night I got stuck somewhere. I couldn't sleep when I got up, and I had weird channels. When I was in New Orleans, I had weird channels, and okay. Porky's was on.
Oh, cool.
It was the scene where he puts his dick in the fucking shower.
Yeah.
And she pulls the fucking dick. I had to watch the whole scene. I don't know if you motherfuckers know what I'm talking about. He puts his dick in the shower hole, and the gym instructor sees it. So she sees the dick, and she walks over, and she grabs the dick and starts fucking pulling the helmet. I got you. And he's yelling at his friend, she's got my dick, she's got my dick. So the next scene... They show the teacher, the gym teacher, in the principal's office with another teacher, explain about what happened. You never seen that?
No, I've seen Porky, but I haven't.
Fucking, you never seen them. He's sitting there, and this lady's telling the principal about what happened.
Okay.
And she's like, so, and the principal's sitting there with his assistant with a fucking grin on his face, like going, so, the patty whacker. And she's like, I grabbed it. And they're fucking dying. They can't control themselves. The woman is stern. She's fucking angry.
Yeah.
And they're like, so you seen the dick? And they're like, what do you want us to do? And the one guy goes, how about we draw a sketch? You know? And on the bottom put, have you seen this prick? You know? And I'm sitting there fucking dying like a 13-year-old. Because I was 13 the first time I saw that fucking movie. No, I was probably 18 or 19. I was living in Colorado. I was dying of laughter. Those little high school movies are supposed to be fucking filthy and stupid, you know? That's what they're supposed to be. Was it filthy? I mean, I liked it. By looking at it, it had no stars.
No.
So I thought, why not? These are five kids that are fucking hungry. Maybe we bump into a fucking good... Wait, Lee, where's the weed?
You smoked it.
What'd you do with all the fucking weed? When I got here, 19 fucking joints. Now I got none.
That's what happens when you bring Joey Diaz over. None. But no, I mean maybe it picked up, but I didn't feel bad about having to leave it. But I told you I watched the original Odd Couple the other night, and that's a funny fucking movie.
You know, it's tough. It's a tough sell. When you told me, I was very surprised that you even mentioned it to me. You know, it's a tough sell for the podcast because I have a lot of young guys on here. And yeah. I listen, guys. When I was fucking young, I tell you what I hate more than anything. If I tell you, people don't get mad at me. Black and white movies.
Yeah, those are tough.
You know, when I was a kid and I saw a black and white movie, I'm like, get that old shit out of there. So I could imagine when I tell you guys to put the mechanic on. I could just imagine, like, Joey, we love you, but fuck you in this old movie. I could just imagine.
Yeah.
So it's a very tough. So I try to pick something mid-range for these guys that's very, it has some history to it.
Okay.
Because if not, they'll look at me. It's like music sometimes. I'll put U2's first album on. These motherfuckers will boo me.
Really?
It's a brilliant fucking album, War. War, I think it's either the first or the second. I'll put some brilliant move because it's too old.
Yeah.
It's out of their fucking price range. And I don't blame you. Like I told you, you know, when I was a kid and you put on black and white, get the fuck out of here. All that Chuck Berry shit when I was a kid, get the fuck out of here. Elvis, when I was a kid, you put Elvis on and on me, I'd fucking stab you. Today, I hear Elvis, I lose my mind because I understand the brilliance of it. I'll tell you who else I fucking hated as a kid.
Who?
The Beatles.
No, you did?
Hated them.
Was it because I know you like you hated SNL because other people liked it. Was it that or was it?
No. SNL, I just... You know, I bumped into this guy, the guy that was training Stallone and De Niro for boxing.
Uh-huh.
He's from Mattawan, New Jersey. He might call in Monday. He's a trainer, and he specializes in weight loss and stuff. I was going to have him call in today, but he's promoting a fight.
Okay.
On a different radio station or something. He couldn't make both calls. And at one point, I was talking about Channel 20. What's Channel We here?
Okay.
And they have old shows, Gunsmoke and Score, Bonanza, and they have The Odd Couple, and I watch it from time to time. But they have all those old shows that I used to look at and laugh at as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would, you know, come. It's just all those black and like when I was a kid, there was no Law and Order. There was Perry Mason.
Yeah,
Perry Mason's a bad motherfucker with whatever his name is. But I didn't like it till I got out of there. When I was a fucking kid, bro, I hated the Beatles. It's just something about them. I grew up on that old style comedy, the Honeymooners, the Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
And when I told that kid about that, his eyes lit up. And we started telling lines to each other about when they went to the doctor's office at Norton, dressed up as a doctor. And he walked in, he kept telling the guy, don't touch me, I'm sterile. You know, and they had two writers for that show. There was two writers and Jackie Gleason. And they improvised the rest.
Yeah.
And I look at the end of Saturday Night Live, and you got 30 fucking writers.
Yeah.
Last week, I was thinking about you. This last week, I watched Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And they've had to bring back all these old guys and Justin Timberlake to liven it up and shit to get the ratings back. And for people, really, I mean, it's kind of cute, but I see right the fuck through it. Because these are the people that are eating my food for the last 20 fucking years. Oh my God, they're so funny. They ain't that fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's not that fucking funny. You watch the first half hour of Saturday Night Live, it gets you a little bit. After that, it's a fucking brutal last fucking hour after the first musical guest.
Yeah.
It's brutal for me. It always has been.
And it's crazy, especially now, because I've never really watched it, but there's always, they have certain sketches that are funny. But now, you don't have to watch the whole hour, because if when you were a kid, if you didn't watch the hour, you'd miss it. Now, anything that's funny is on YouTube within 20 minutes, and you can watch the sketches that are funny. So that the shows like that, that's going to have to go away soon.
So, you know, I like that style of comedy. The Honeymooners is why I'm here today with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why I became a comic. It inspired me that much. And when I was sharing the stories with this guy, he's from Mattawan, New Jersey, we talked about WPIX and how on 10:30 on WOR was Benny Hill. We never missed Benny Hill. And then at 11 o'clock, you switch to Channel 11 and you watch The Honeymooners, The Odd Couple, Sanford and Son, and The Twilight Zone. That was it. I don't give a fuck if your first class was at 7:30. You didn't fucking miss that. And when I was in the 7th grade and 6th grade, I would get on the phone with Whitey O'Donnell in my mother's room, or I would get on the phone with fucking somebody else on their fucking room, and we would talk about what was going on. Or I would play Ralph, and he would play Norton.
Huh.
You follow me? That's why a couple weeks ago, I got the baby in my arms. I'm about to go out to do comedy. My wife is getting ready, and I see The Odd Couple's on. I put the fucking Odd Couple on, and it's an episode that we used to goof around with his name. He went to Jamaica, and Oscar, and all this crazy shit. And next thing you know, I started bawling. I started fucking bawling like a little girl.
Holy shit.
Because that's the fucking reason why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I became a comic, why I thought in my mind every night. I know that beginning to The Odd Couple, you know, on November 10th, Aunt Madison's wife had thrown him out, requesting that he never return. Can two divorced men share an apartment without driving each other crazy? Da-da-da-da-da-da. We used to do, when we got on the number one bus, that's how we got the ride going.
Oh, really?
That's how we started the fucking ride. And then we'd do every episode of The Honeymooners, verbatim. Six guys in the back of a bus, fucking, you know, my friend, my friend Harvey's even bigger than you. Even bigger than me. I got a friend Shirley that's fucking bigger than you. All those fucking lines from The Honeymooners. You know, there's a scene in The Honeymooners where they're gonna inherit $3 million.
Okay.
It's one of the funniest fucking things I have ever seen in my life. Okay. And he lends, Norton lends him, it's like if I come to you and I go, listen, I need $20. But you've already heard every story.
Yeah.
You've already heard every fucking story. And you're like, come on, Joey. And I'm like, listen, how would you like to be part of a corporation? And you're like, what? And I'm like, a corporation. You know, I got this money. It's coming in. What is it? 20%. For $20, I give you 20% of the corporation. So after a month goes by, Norton knocks on the door one day. He goes, hey, Ralph, you told me every time you spun around, I'd make money. So far, you haven't been no fucking top. All right, where's my money, right? So they start talking, and somebody knocks on the door. And it's like a lawyer. And he's like, I'm the lawyer from Miss Monahan. I'm here to inform you that she died. Constantine, I love you, cocksucker. She died, and that she left you something in the will. You have to go to the reading tomorrow.
Okay.
So right away, they look at the paper, and she was worth $30 million. So Ralph is like, we're inheriting $30 million. She's got a nephew. She hates him. So we inherited $30 million. And the whole time he says, inherit $30 million, Norton goes, 20% to the stockholders, right? I'm dying. Every time he says, I inherited $30 million, Norton would go, and 20% goes to the stockholders. So now it's the day they have to wake up to go to this meeting.
Yeah.
Fucking Norton shows up with a briefcase, with a suitcase. Puts it on the table. Ralph looks at him and goes, what's the suitcase for? He goes, $30 million. How are you going to bring it home?
Jesus.
Ralph looks at him, and he knows. He wants to argue with him. Like, he's like, you know, you're a real fucking idiot, but you're my buddy. He goes, why don't you go upstairs and cut $30 million and see if it even fits in there? Norton looks at him, opens up the suitcase, takes out the phony money and slams the thing. He goes, the small details. That's brilliance to me. That, and then they go down there. Listen to the writing. Listen to the fucking writing. They kept saying she had a fortune.
Okay.
They walk into this fucking mansion and there's a fucking statue of Venus de Milo.
Yeah.
With no arms and no legs. In front of the butler, Norton hits Ralph and he goes, look at that guy. He must have had a rotten barber. They walk into the thing. They sit down. The nephew's there. They start goofing on the nephew because he's a gambler. And she leaves the nephew a dollar.
Oh, no.
A dollar. And they're like, you better bet it on the winner and all this shit. They're just tormenting them. They're clapping in between. You know, he left the maid $30,000. They started clapping. Norton's clapping. And all of a sudden, everybody looks at him and goes, a little habit I picked up from the quiz shows. But here's where it gets ugly. She goes, and to my favorite bus driver, to a simple, I leave my fortune. They both get up. They're clapping. They're hugging each other. We're rich. We're rich. And he's in the back. 30% goes to the stockholders. And finally, he goes, come on, bring in the fortune. It's a fucking bird.
Oh, no.
And the name of it was Fortune. That's comedy fucking writing 101.
Yeah.
That's comedy. They took us one way, and they took us another. There's an episode when they go on a train. And he handcuffs him and he goes, put the handcuff on. 1, 2, 3, boof. And that's it. The handcuffs come off. And they both got locked up with the handcuff.
Okay.
And he kept saying to him, Ralph, can you get me water? And he had to go back in the bunk. Ralph, can you take my jacket off? It's hot. They have to come off the bunk and take the jacket off. Then he's hanging there with a handcuff. And finally, fucking, he goes, Ralph, can I get a cigarette? Ralph is furious. He gets up. He goes, get down. Get down. You want any water? No. You want any? No. No. You want this? No. You need this? No. He goes, I just need a cigarette. All right. Get up there. He goes up there. 2 minutes into it, he goes, Ralph, you forgot to ask me if I needed a match. They get up, and they found that the train is going a different fucking direction. That's comedy.
Yeah.
They were taking you somewhere, and that's the shit we don't see today. That's the shit we don't see today. Watch I Love Lucy. Give I Love Lucy a chance.
Yeah.
If you get stoned, fucking just give me 5 minutes of your time and put on I Love Lucy. I caught on I Love Lucy. I was dying when he breaks out in Spanish. It was 1955, people. There were no Spics. There were no Spics in 1951 or 55. Cut it out. You know what that man did? You have any fucking idea what he did? You know, and you know, I told you the story. He went, his parents got rid of him out of Cuba.
Okay.
That kid was on his own. Like, they just threw him out of Cuba. His father was part of some Batista regime. I don't know what the whole story was, but they sent him to a Catholic school in Miami.
Okay.
By himself. Just like me sending you to school in Israel by yourself. No cousins, no nothing.
Fuck.
Just send you there and give you enough loot. And while he was there, one Christmas, he was by himself. And some kid said, you want to come home with me? Jesus, you're going to sit here by yourself. It was Al Capone's son. Al Capone's son took him back to Chicago. Al Capone fell in love with this fucking spit. It was fucking amazing.
That's hysterical.
It was fucking amazing. Listen, put on a little Hector Lavoe, Todo Tiene Su Final, from like the fucking 3-minute part. We got to give a shout out to some fucking Spanish people this week. Taking over the fucking Vatican. Nick Diaz is fighting. Carlos Conduit's fucking fighting. We got some spics making things happen. Uncle Joey's here with my main man. We got to give a shout out to Spanish people. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with here?
It's going to be 10 seconds. But what do you think of Chavez? Did you have any comment? Like, because, I mean, it's another dictator sort of...
Who gives a fuck?
Nothing?
He's a fucking commie cocksucker that thought he was fucking crazy. You give those fucking momos light, he's done.
He's going to be on display permanently. Like, they're, like, mummifying him so we can go
keep
look
going,
at him.
Keep going, mummify. You going to go see him and touch his fucking dead foot?
No. Keep going.
Keep going, he goes nuts. Keep going. Keep going. Oh shit. Oh shit, little Hector. All the Puerto Ricans up there, Death Squad, New York City, Death Squad, Harlem. Raise your fucking hands, cocksucker. Speed it up a little bit now until he goes fucking nuts. This is the music. Keep going. Right there is good. I hear you, Lee. Here we go, a little fucking maracas for you. Get up, cocksuckers. It's Friday. If pussy or ass or cock in your future, watch that monkey because it's Friday. You know what I'm saying? You want to make a good impression. St. Patty's is fucking Sunday. Take your on it immune. If you're going to go out and party this weekend, take that immune. If you're going to eat some bad ass, you never know. When you get some ass, it's got fucking cranberries in it or whatever, dingleberries, who the fuck knows. And there you are coughing at work with a weird breath. And you got to take some fucking antibiotics. So get it together, St. Patty's Day, and be careful out there. Some crazy fucking Irish people. Me, I don't give a fuck. I'm down with the fucking Irish. You know what I'm saying? The Battle of the Boyne. And you haven't wiggled for me yet. I want to see you wiggling 52 pounds lighter, Lee. Because you wiggle, you know, you wiggling when you're a behemoth of a man. Now look at you. You bad motherfucker. You sound like Tony Soprano in the offseason with the beard. Hit it, Lee. All right. It's Friday, you bad motherfuckers. Little Hector Lavoe, out of respect for the Argentinian Pope. I know he's a talent. Get the fuck out of here. Hit it. Bullshit. Bullshit. Let me see you wiggle. Chapalante coarte. Oh shit. Little fucking spick singing this morning for you motherfuckers. Oigo, amo que me dice. What? I gotta teach you some Spanish, you Jew fucker.
What does that mean? What is he singing about?
Me sniff my fucking helmet. That's what it means. I don't know what it means. What are you bothering me for? Saying it in meanings and shit. What am I, a dictionary in Spanish?
Yes. You speak Spanish.
You better get it together, Lee. You're gonna become a Jew that fucking speaks Spanish. It's just another weapon in your fucking winery.
Maybe it's only at Yum Yum Donuts that you speak Spanish.
Who speaks Spanish at Yum Yum Donuts?
You!
When did I speak Spanish at Yum Yum Donuts, you dirty bastard?
Every time we go in, you treat it like he's your cousin back there. And now you say you don't know what Todo Tiene Su Final means.
Oh, Todo Tiene Su Final means everything comes to a fucking end, cocksucker. Like your eyeball. I'm going to stick this fake e-cigarette right in your fucking eyeball. You'll be walking around with a patch in one eye, waiting for the other eye to get farted in, which I got the chick. She's been calling me. She wants, she wants a $500 advance. I told her whatever the fuck she wants. I'm like, what fucker? This is done. We're just getting them.
Next, what is she getting $500 for?
To fart in your face, to stick to a particular diet. You want her to juice. I don't want her to blow. You know, I don't want to keep the. I don't want her to throw an apple in your eye and it throws your diet off. You follow me? If she's going to fart in your face, you're going to be juicing.
Fine. You don't really have any farts when you're juicing, so that's fine.
Well, then I'll have eat a big ball of fucking peanut butter, so with chunks in it. One of those chunky peanut butter. You blow one of those, you get a peanut in the eyeball.
No.
No, you never eat an ass, so you don't know what it is to bump into a peanut by mistake.
You're not exactly selling it. Who wants a peanut in the eyeball?
Why not?
It's a coming souvenir. Out of the asshole?
A little one. Like a crunched one already. Once that's
the
intestines crunched a little bit, you get like Snapple.
Oh, good. So your body can't even break it down, but it's coming out of the asshole and into
your
eye.
Bodies don't break bomb peanut and corn. That's why you always, there's always little things of corn. That's why every time you go to Boston Market, don't eat the corn.
Oh, I love corn.
Oh, I love it too. Cream and fucking the other thing.
Have you ever had? I've never had it, but I've seen it around here a lot. Like corn on the cob, and they put like some Spanish cheese on it. Is that good?
I don't know about the Spanish cheese. I get the shit with the seasonings at the farmer's market on Sundays.
Oh, fuck.
Delicious. Yeah, delicious, the corn. You're not going to eat ever again. You're
gonna, no, I am. You're in like a few weeks.
No, you ain't eating. That's it. You already got it beat. Fuck it. Why go back to eating now?
Because I have to eat.
Fuck that. You don't need to.
I'm going fucking bananas.
Soldier. You're like Rambo of the diet world. Look at you. I'm next. I'm going to tell you something, people. This is what happened.
I have some juice. You want it?
Fuck. I wouldn't drink that shit unless you gave it to me intravenously. You better knock me out to put the needle in because it's not worth the aggravation. I'm going to Weight Watchers today. I'm going back to count my points.
Oh, cool.
You know what? When I booked this, I read the signs. Then when I talked to the casting director, she was like, you know what? Pete expected you to be a little bigger.
Really?
Yeah, because he worked with me last time in The Longest Yard. So he didn't fucking know. When I showed up, he's like, you lost some fucking weight, didn't you? And I go, yeah, I lost some weight. He's like, no, we wanted your gut to be the old gut. We didn't know that you had shrunk it a little bit. But I still got a fucking gut. Who are you kidding, Pete? It looks bigger on camera. That's 10 pounds.
Yeah, they could put a small shirt on you and stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same. It didn't have the patois of the old gut. The old gut had the lumps in it and the cellulite. You know, this, you could see like little striations. My obliques are trying to make a comeback. No, no, no. I'm going to hire a trainer for this next, for the special and stuff.
Nice.
I said, not the baby. I don't want the baby to be one and I can't walk around. But my cardio's good. Everything's good. I'm going to kickboxing today. I'm going to work out tomorrow. And then I got 5 days. And it's up to Sacramento with my man, D'Agostino. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then after that, I'm on a little hiatus for a few weeks, and I'm going to go to fucking Miami. Did you see that? I might bring you to that one, Lisa. I'm not sure yet.
It's the Miami Comedy Festival, right?
And Pete Holmes is there, too.
Oh, cool, yeah. So
he's in the small theater also later on that night.
And I think Bill Burr is there, too.
Bill Burr, Sarah Silverman. So if you're in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, do me a favor. Here's the deal. If I sell out Friday night, which is 204 seats, they'll give me Saturday for 420. Oh, shit. I'm going to get the banana bread shipped down. I'm going to get everything. I'm going to get some posters from The Longest Yard that I showed you. The ones that they kept me, they're going to be limited edition.
Oh, cool.
Because when The Longest Yard first came out, they put me in the poster. But then when WB, whatever, gave Chris Rock the show, they put the black dude in the poster. And they put his head over my fucking body. I still got the original posters. We found them when we were moving the office.
Oh, cool.
You know, you find some shit that you forget about. So I'm going to bring some of those down. I'm going to sign those, give them away to some people. So I'm going to have a good time in Miami. You know, some Cuban people down there. I haven't seen some people I grew up with, so I'm going to have my own fucking festival down there.
And is that, can you buy tickets at joeydiaz.net, or is that on Ticketmaster? What is it?
I think it's on Ticketmaster. Okay. And it's $20 and a $9 festival fucking fee. It's a South Beach. So my apologies to everybody. You know I'm not a mutt like that. The $9 has nothing to do with me. I don't like making my tickets over $18. I try to be fair with everybody. I want, you know, the way I always look at it, if you can't afford, you know, if you go to a movie and it's sold out, you might as well come see Joey Diaz. I don't want you to really kill yourself, but the clubs have a certain fucking quota. You know, you guys support me in every way. You support me. So the $9 service charge is not mine. It's required for you to fucking go, and I don't know what to tell you. I like to sell both of these out. It's 404. I'm sorry I'm burping this morning. I had a protein shake, and between the pretzels and Lee making me nervous, cocksucker. We don't have a call today at 6:35. I have a call at 7:10. My buddy Greg Schmidt's going to call. You know, he invited me last night. I'll tell you this when he called. But I noticed I got on the scale. It was like 315 after fucking New Orleans.
Oh, of course. You were down there for like 5 days.
But let me tell you something. They put me up at this hotel.
Okay.
That was very rustic. I guess that's where they cut the deal for New England for the Saints.
Okay.
When the Saints first came, this was the hotel in the 60s. This was a very rustic hotel.
Okay.
And part of the deal at this hotel is that you could eat there for $10.
Nice.
So, you know me, dog. I'm a fucking glutton for punishment. I start walking. And I walked to the one side one day looking, and I got some pizza down there. It was very good at a place called Slice, I guess. Bro, I got some good food down there.
Yeah.
Now, the first day for breakfast, I went to some place, and I hate fucking eggs on Saturday, and I had like an omelet, and I fucking hate eggs.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just, so that Sunday morning, I found out, somebody said to me, they have great breakfast at the hotel. So I went to the hotel, and I got two eggs, the toast, two slices of bacon, and I got, now $10 gets you a seven-course breakfast, seven-course lunch, or seven-course, I'm dead serious, people. This is, this hotel is cool as shit. So I got the oatmeal.
Okay.
Now, the best oatmeal in the country, and I don't lie to nobody, you go all over the fucking country and eat it, is the Mandalay Bay oatmeal. It's $7.95 and they make it with cream.
Ooh.
And you can't eat enough of it. But you go right upstairs and shit just like you ate 20 apples. It's healthy for you. And you eat it straight with maybe a piece of toast and some fucking water, you know, and it's delicious. I always eat it when I can't wait to go to Vegas to eat oatmeal.
Yeah.
At this particular place. And I don't know if it's the Mandalay Bay or the other one. Or the other casino, but I think it's the Mandalay Bay, the Ruffles. I think that's the name of it, the little hotel thing that they have great fucking oatmeal. This place in New Orleans had better oatmeal.
Oh, shit.
But I had another fucking bowl. Even the eggs were delicious. They were country eggs. You could taste the fucking yolk.
Oh, nice.
You know, like, I didn't eat the butter, the fucking bread. You know, the bread, everything. Then the one day I went in there for some shrimp Creole. Oh. With a salad. Delicious. The flavor, delicious. I had the tuna in there. The tuna, pan-seared tuna.
Nice.
With the spinach.
Yeah.
Fucking deliciously. One night they had the spaghetti for dinner. I swear to God, I thought it had Valiums in it. I had called Chef Rob, and I had called Dan at the firehouse Tuesday morning or Monday morning. I go, listen, depending on the week, depending on the night, what time we get out of there, I'll come home and wash my pussy and give you guys a call, and we get together and smoke some dope, whatever. The one guy's a fireman, he can't smoke dope. Who I love. I love Dan. I love looking at his face. You can tell he'll light your fucking house on fire and then shut it off 20 minutes later. And I meant to wear the sweatshirt this morning. I just left in a fucking rush because I was running late this morning with Lee, and it's kind of warm.
Yeah, it is. It's
fucking 90 degrees already. I didn't even have to bring a jacket or nothing. Yeah, I did bring a jacket. It's fucking hotter than hell. And, was I talking about Lee?
The food you ate on Tuesday when you're tired.
On Tuesday, I went back to the room one night, and I was going to walk to this place, and I was going to call the chef, because chef had barbecue for me.
Oh, nice.
And I got out of the thing at 7 o'clock at night, and as I was walking into the hotel, the lady was there, a real cute girl. She goes, you got to try the spaghetti tonight. She was this black chick that was very cute. And I go, how good is it? And she goes, man, it's off the fucking chain. And I went and I go, you know what? I'm not even going to take a shower. Let me eat the spaghetti and I go upstairs. Because the restaurant closes at 8 and I was fucking starving.
Yeah.
It was one of the first movies I had been on that the craft services wasn't that good. The crafty was better. So craft services is what comes in at 8, 12, and 6 for dinner.
Yeah.
Crafty, who's there all day making protein shakes and soups, and he made a Philadelphia cheesesteak soup that I almost fucking died. Oh, everything was from scratch. This guy was badass. He was a Cajun mother. Badass! I gotta give props to fucking food, all right? You know, this is the weirdest podcast because it's a Fat Man Alert podcast, but we love fucking food, Lee.
Everyone loves food.
We love food, and we love good fucking food.
Oh, yeah. Did you have the donut things, the beignets or whatever that
is?
No,
I didn't.
Oh.
I tried to watch it, Lee. You know, Lee, I'm a fat dude that understands I keep it down to proportions, like the pasta that I ate.
Yeah.
They definitely put sleeping pills in it, but it was a little bowl, and I had a salad with it. You know, I'm trying to do, like yesterday on American Airlines, whatever, Delta, they come over with a basket, and they asked me what I wanted. They had chips, and I took the banana.
Yeah.
We have to try halfway. We could still have a little bit of both worlds. You follow me?
I think we're the same way, because I've been craving food. I don't crave the sweet things. I crave the actual food.
I don't crave sweet things at all.
Was that the night you called me at, like, I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning our time, and you were like, I fell asleep at 8:30.
Yeah, I fell asleep. I was drooling. When I woke up, no sleep apnea mask. I got up at like 2, and I went right to bed with my clothes on. I put the sleep apnea mask. When I woke up at 4, because of the shirt,
yeah,
I was sweating fucking profusely. I could feel the sweat in my fucking back. When they changed those sheets, I was like, this guy was sweating in this fucking bed. You can smell a fat man sweat. You know, a fat man sweat smells different.
Of course I know.
It smells like potato chips and fucking salsa and ice cream and Taco Bell and unfucking believable. But no, it's great to be back home. I tell you, I called my wife the other day, and she was telling me that the baby was great, everything was great, but the cats were acting up.
Oh.
Cats know timing. They know timing.
Okay.
Cats eat at the same time every day. Cats know when you walk in. You know, my wife used to work At about 5 o'clock, Demi's already lurking. Because he knows he's 30 minutes away. He's getting ready for his mama to come
home. Oh, that's funny, yeah.
He starts licking Harry. They get ready for their mom to come home. They're very good with timing. And they're used to me leaving on Thursday and coming back Sunday morning. I don't lie to people. They don't like me out past 3 nights. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I threw them off with Friday. Yeah. Like they were all fucking thrown off. Like, where's he going? It's Friday. There's no work now. He can't go nowhere now. By Sunday night, my wife called and she's like, they know you're not coming back. I go, how do they know? They go, because they peed.
Oh, shit.
You know, they peed in your room and pissed at you. You know? So Monday night, we were talking and she goes, no, they've been fighting all fucking day. Because you're not here. You're their whole, you know, I'm with them all. I love those animals. You
That's
know that.
Funny. Yeah, yeah.
And especially since fucking Finney died. Now Fidel, it's like the guy, it's like the Gambinos in 85. When they killed fucking Castellano, you had John Gotti's faction and you had, you know, other factions. But since he killed Castellano, there was no argument. But when the original boss died, of the Gambinos, the Paul, the little guy, whatever his fucking name was, you know, you had the Paul Castellano faction and you had the other faction, the guy from downtown, De La Croce, and they didn't know what to do. So they had to have a meeting. And that's what's going on in my house right now.
Someone trying to be the king.
It's between Fidel and it's between Sissy.
Really?
Yeah, because Sissy's been there the longest, but she's a female. So I don't know how it's going to go down. So there's going to be a war any fucking day in my house.
That's funny.
So I don't know who's going to side with who, because Sissy's always been a loner. She's never very popular. She's a great cat. She's just not popular with the other one. She doesn't really play with the other
one. Yeah, I just assumed it would be Fidel, because he, like, I always thought he was. Like, I wasn't there for, like, I was there for a little bit, and Fidel's always walking around and meowing. But it's funny how you said, like, he'd let Finney, like, attack him, and, like, because Finney was, like, the king.
So now he's trying to be Finney, so he's attacking cats.
Wow.
You follow me? That's so now crazy. He's being Finney. He's not hurting anybody. He's just attacking him the way Finney used to attack him. Finney used to fuck Fidel up, and he was half the size. It was amazing to watch. He'd take him down. Fidel would be looking at me like, and I'm like, are you fucking crazy? You could turn over. It's like Kane fighting like George Roop. It's like some heavyweight fighting like a 145. But that's what it looked like, you know? I can't believe we're talking about fucking cats, Louis, fighting. What the fuck is this podcast coming to? You know what I'm saying? Lee, what's happening? You happy to be back? Eat a pretzel. It's vegan.
I can't eat. But I'm
gonna be fucked up today, Lee.
I think I'm looking at cars today, I think.
What?
Looking at cars today.
Look at you.
Because, I bought this car when I didn't have any credit. And I have like 5 or 6% interest or whatever. And I've had this car for almost 3 years. And I might not buy anything, but I'm thinking about trying to get like a smaller car, get better gas mileage, get a little Jetta. Who knows?
Jetta. Yeah, I heard they did good in safety rating.
I don't know. I'm going to look.
Did you read it?
No, I guess I showed you. But I've been looking at it. And then I'm also, later this week or next week, I'm doing That Reporter Kid Speaks.
Did you?
Yeah, he contacted me on Twitter. So.
He's a good man. Let me blow my nose here. Oh, shit. I took one of those allergy tests, you know, for like $180 fucking dollars that they test you. Not with the pins and shit.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, not with the pins. Okay.
They did the blood test.
Okay.
Quest, whatever. God damn, I got a lot of allergies I didn't know about.
That sucks.
So I got to get these drops and a shot and pills.
I'm allergic to 8 million fucking things. Like, I'm allergic to wheat. Like, that's part of the reason why whenever I do these diets, like, I feel better. Because I got tested. I'm allergic to, like, wheat, tomatoes. Like, nothing really happens except I gain weight and I, like, get tired and have bags under my eyes. But allergies suck. Like, I don't really have them here because it's so dry. But every time I go back east, it destroys me.
I'm watching you, Lee. You know what I'm saying? I'm studying. You're a fucking savage.
I try.
All right, what else? What do you got for me? You got any music today?
Yeah, let's do some...
What do you got, Funko Joy?
Let's do some Def Leppard.
Oh, shit. It's Friday, bitches. So, Miami, April 19th. Next week, the 27th of March, we're doing a special Ice House. Instead of Testicle Testaments, we're doing a live podcast with Vinny fucking Curto.
So
it's
going
to be me, you, Vinny Curto, for an hour and a half talking shit up at the Ice House. We will put the podcast up. We're not charging for it. None of that shit. It'll still be free. It'll be like an extra fucking podcast for you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So what you do is you eat some fucking Alpha Brain, you snort some fucking THC, and you listen to the podcast, all right?
And for people who might not remember, Vinny Curto is the boxing guy.
Who was on Beating the Beast, and it was one of the best podcasts I've ever been involved in.
Yeah.
Like tears. We had to stop during the fucking podcast and cry. Like Vinnie Curto is a boxer that's been in movies. He sold a few scripts. In fact, one De Niro was going to do play Angelo Dundee because he was managed by Angelo Dundee, this guy.
Okay.
Vinnie Curto is the real fucking deal and a sweetheart. And I got a lot of respect from one of the best Beauty and the Beast episodes he did was with him.
Yeah.
Was with him. One of we did was with him. He was, he took you into fucking long waters. I got tons of emails after that saying, hey, man, you can't have that guy on the fucking show while I'm at work. I was crying in my cubicle and shit. So we're going to do a live one with Vinny fucking Curto. And I hope you guys come out. Lee Syatt's going to do his debut that night. No pressure, Lee. Get your shit together, Lee. By that time, you'll be like 90 pounds fucking lighter.
I'm hoping
you'll be sitting on a leaf. Pretty soon you'll be slinging dick, Lee. What are you going to do with your new fucking looks? Look at you.
I don't know,
handsome little Jew and shit.
I'm trying.
He's going to wear the yarmulke with dollar signs in it. Big, big pimping. Why don't you get a BMW? Be one of those crazy Jews.
I can't afford a BMW.
Yes, you can. You got more money than God. I got to hit it under the couch. Why don't we sell this chick on the couch like $20,000 in the black market?
Just sell her?
I like her. She's a cute fucking girl.
Yeah, she's nice.
She's very cute, very personal. How's her job going?
Good. She's she's doing good. Just looking for an apartment. And
I believe you woke her up and licked a little monkey one night.
I can't do that. Just a friend standing on my couch.
That fucking, that's the best. That's your friends. You know, go over there and pick up a fucking leg and just lick a little monkey nice and soft when she's sleeping. Right through the underwear. Just lick that little fucking thong. Just lick. And you'll see the monkey open up right in front of you like one of those 3D flowers. You know, and you'll see that little first wing will pop out. And the thong will be right on that fucking wing. And you'll see the wing coming to life by itself. Then you lick the other wing, and the other wing pops out of the thigh. Then you got him, you know what I'm saying?
Why do you want me to go to jail? I don't understand.
I don't want you to go to jail. I want you to have a good time, cocksucker. I want you to have a good time. That's it. She's a cutie. She likes you. She wouldn't be on the couch if she didn't believe wasn't going to pop that fucking Jew helmet and her little muffler one night by mistake.
Jesus Christ.
I love getting Lee all riled up. So this chick's been calling me. Let's give her the 500. So the podcast ends this time. I'm not giving
no 500.
I'm going to give her the nickel so she can pee on you. You don't have to let her pee on your forehead.
No, she's not peeing on me.
Listen, they just did a special fucking study in Finland for you bald guys. You rub pee on your head and your follicles open up. Let this girl pee on your head. You have a fucking Justin Bieber head, dude.
I'd rather be completely hairless with no eyebrows and get peed on.
I'm telling you, dog. Let's try it. What if she pees on you and you start growing hair? You're like a fucking beetle.
I'll let you get peed on first.
I got a ton of hair. I just want you to let me.
I don't care.
Look, I'm a married man. I can't let no woman pee on me.
Why?
But you got to do it. Listen, part of this whole fucking night with the fart in the face is her just a little squirt in your fucking head. It's not going to kill you. You never peed on your foot by mistake?
I probably have, but it's my pee. That's totally
okay,
different.
Same thing. You never had pee on your hands and you eat a piece of chicken with your pee on your hands? Yes, you did. Because you're a nasty motherfucker. Taco. You never peed at work, didn't shake your helmet, right? You had left a little pee on the outside of your finger, then you drive to Jack in the Box and eat three of those fucking sandwiches. You never grabbed a sandwich with dick hands.
No, I don't eat with pee on my hands.
I'm not saying that you rob your fucking hands and pee and then take your dick on purpose. I'm saying unconsciously, you let a little fucking Jew pee on your finger, then you go eat a taco from Taco Bell and you eat your own pee radioactively.
What does Jew pee smell like?
I don't fucking know. When was I at a Jew bathhouse? You know what I'm saying? I'm jumping up and down listening to fucking Hare Krishna music with a bunch of Jews peeing on me. What do you think I am?
I don't know.
I'm a fucking Catholic. Get it together, cocksucker. I've never had pee on me. I pissed on a guy. You know what I'm saying? At a fucking disco one time because he wanted it at one of those freak houses. What the fuck? But this is a woman. Cut it out.
Yeah.
You're always so fucking judgmental about it. It's woman.
I'm not judging. She can pee on anyone she wants.
Let's smoke
not
some
me.
Pot and talk about it. Come here, take a hit of this shit.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get peed on me.
I got the shit the Argentinian Pope smoked when he took the job. Just listen, a little pee on your forehead. We'll rub it into the fucking head, dude. And you'll be ready to go. What the fuck?
I won't be ready to go. I'll be stuck in a mental asylum going back and forth being like, I don't like
you
pee, I don't like
you,
pee.
You told me
like
a month ago that you want to live. You want to start living that at times you feel like you're missing shit. You're not going to the standard.
Peeing isn't living.
Yeah.
That's a new
t-shirt. It's a story. It's a story.
I'd rather not have a story.
Sure. You want to be sitting around with your sons one day and they're talking about, Dad, what are you doing? You know, let me tell you one time. Me and my buddy Joey Diaz, he got some fucking black chick to pee on my face.
Wait, what? Why isn't farting enough? I think farting's pretty good.
Farting is, that's what they do in Europe. You know what I'm saying? People take farts to the face. It's so nonchalant. The little piece of the chrome dome, and we rub it in. Forget about it, Lee. What you got? Put some fucking music on.
Jesus
Christ. Unfucking believable what I got to deal with. I got to argue with a guy about, can you believe this shit? Oh, shit. Oh, shit, Lee. Where's the reefer, Lee? You holding that on me? No, we didn't fucking smoke at all. You smoked it all. We.
I smoked it all.
The size of this fucking thing here.
Take like two hits and...
So anyway, Lee, we got a big weekend this weekend. Let's talk about this shit.
Okay. What's this weekend? Oh, the fight.
This is a good fucking card this weekend. Everybody knows. Everybody's waiting for this fight. I love GSP. I like everything about he is for the sport. He's an ambassador. He's great. He's a great athlete. Diaz, on the other hand, is this fucking animal.
I love it.
I love it. And I'll tell you what, you have Carlos Condit against Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah, mad Rory's out. That would have been a good fight.
And then you have, I think Rory would have had his fucking hands full with Carlos Condit. And you've got Nate Marquardt against...
let me look it up.
Ellenberger. Okay. Jake Ellenberger, who's a great guy. And he's got great power in his hands. You know, I could sit here and give you picks. I'm not going to give you picks. I'm just going to give you fucking psychological shit here, what's going on. I mean... I'm watching Diaz and all his interviews, the interviews the last couple of weeks, and I got to say something. He's just a guy that wants to fight.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some of the shit he was saying, I understand because I go through it. I went through it. He's 29 years old. That's how I felt at 29 years old. If I would have been a comic at 29 years old, I just want to get on stage. I didn't want to write. You know, you're just a renegade. You're just a fucking renegade. Either you have that in your blood... or you don't have that in your blood. He taunts you. He gets into you. Do I agree with it? Yeah, I like all that shit.
Yeah.
I keep my mouth shut now because I'm a pussy. I keep my mouth shut, Lee, 90% of the times because I'm a pussy. Sometimes I let go on people. You know it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I shut my fucking mouth because I'm a pussy. Because I know that these people can't handle it. In this town that we live in, Los Angeles, or in this society we live in, even if somebody's fucking up and they know it and you call them, you're negative and you're a bad person.
Yeah.
You can't say what the fuck you feel or whatever. And people don't want to, some people don't really want to hear the truth. You know, hey, listen, I've been around for 20 years. Nobody knows who I am. There's a lot of people who don't like me. And I like that you don't like me because it lets me know what the fuck you are. I don't fucking like you either because I fucking know that you get bored easily and you like fake shit. You don't want to face the fucking truth. And I don't want you to fuck around me. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I really never ever worried about that. You know, I was on a plane yesterday. It was funny. I was on a plane with this coach, this boxing coach, and okay. One of the guys in the movie was behind me that worked on stunts behind me. And at the end of the fucking flight, some chick comes on, like this Asian chick. And yeah, she was a six.
Okay.
Fake tits, the whole walk, the big Diana Ross sunglasses, thinking that she, you know, she did something. So she sits behind me and she starts that fucking shit, that LA shit, that she's a fucking artist, that she travels to all these festivals and... You know, she lives in L.A. in Northridge, but she's thinking of buying a house in NOLA and, you know, New Orleans. And,
oh, okay.
And she was headed to San Francisco to an artiste thing because she's a performance artist and she works this pole like Circus du Soleil and all this. And I'm looking at this chick and she's an actress. You know, she's been in this. And while the way she's talking, I'm looking at this bitch going, this bitch has a 60-year-old boyfriend that she's sucking his balls and he's paying for all these plane tickets. That's, you just see it.
Yeah.
I've been around those already that they talk a big game and they got some 60-year-old nuts that nobody would touch and they're sucking their balls, getting their rent paid. And I ain't mad at you for that because you're making it happen, but don't make believe you're fucking something else.
Yeah.
So she's talking, and all of a sudden the guy next to me gets involved in the fucking conversation, right? And he's talking and he knows, he feels what I feel, like this chick's a fucking stroke. And she looks at me and she goes, I know you from some whatever. It's the typical shit. I'm like, how are you, my love? And I look her straight in the eye and I go, you know what? You're a fucking animal, aren't you? And dog, and it was like I took her fucking money away. She just froze. I go, I don't know what the fuck you were talking about, but we all know here you're a fucking savage. I go, all right? I go, you're so fucking... I go, that monkey's so fucking strong, they're flying you in. And she just looked at me, and I go, you're Japanese? And she goes, no, I'm Vietnamese. I go, with that fucking napalm pussy. I told her right to her face, and that was the end of the conversation. She didn't say a word the rest of the fucking flight. And the guy next to me was like, I love it. He goes, that's why you get along with Justin Fortune, this Australian guy that's we're mutual friends. He goes, because you guys cut right through the fucking chase. Listen, if I had 500 in my pocket, I would have told Miss Vietnam to suck my dick right there in the fucking third row, and she would have fucking sucked it. That's the freak she was. She's trying to be something else, a Cirque du Soleil. You know what? Tell that to some fucking college kid that don't fucking know a freak when he sees one. Fucking momos, make him believe. I hate that word, artist. I always have, because, yeah, I write and do comedy or whatever. I'm no fucking artist. I'm an ex-felon that talks shit. I'm no fucking artist. These people that call themselves fucking artists, you better give yourself a fucking breather, all right? Take that picture of the pigeon you drove looking at the moon and break it over your head. You're no fucking artist, all right? The fuck out of here. I got a studio in Soho. Listen, get your shit together, all right? Tell your dad to stop writing checks. What would you be doing? You'd be selling that little asshole on 42nd Street for $50 a pop, and for an extra 10, they'd sniff it. Get it together, cocksucker! Stop faking the funk, you fucking momos. It's America, you bad motherfuckers. Get up, it's Friday. Lee Syatt's lost 52 fucking pounds. For you motherfuckers at home, I can't do it. Lee Syatt drinking fucking carrot juice and kale.
Yeah, it's fucking...
I'd rather be in isolation by myself, talking to the fucking wall.
After day five, it's not bad. It's a tough first 5 days, but then now I'm fine.
I love you, Lee, and I'm very proud of you. Oh.
Thank you, buddy. Love you, too. And we got a call coming.
Oh, shit.
What's up, buddy?
It's my little brother, Greggy. What's happening, buddy?
Not a whole lot, dude. Making a cup of green tea.
All right. Look at you. You don't drink the coffee? You just drink the green tea?
Well, you know, I got to stay away from the coffee. The blood pressure's a little high. So
when you drink coffee, it raises your blood pressure?
That's what the doctor's telling me.
Really?
He's saying everything right now for me is no good. No salt, no coffee.
You know, my blood pressure's been off the chain the last 3 months. And even though I go to the acupuncture, I take the medication, I do everything for it. I try to exercise. I didn't know the coffee was, because I like my coffee in the morning. But I just drink one cup. It's not like I'm drinking 92 cups.
I don't have it every day, but my daughter drinks a lot of tea, and I'm on the medication too, but it was helping in the beginning, and now it's not helping. I got to go back next week and see what the hell's going on.
No, I'm scared of it, but I'm not. I'm Latin, so my blood pressure's always running fucking high since I was a kid. You know when I first got diagnosed with blood pressure when I went to the can? When I got locked up, that's the first time I ever heard about blood pressure. And they put me on something in there and whatever, but it wasn't really high. Now I'm like at the 180s over 120s. But I also have white collar, whatever the fuck. So once they take my blood pressure, you wait 20 minutes in the doctor's office, and once I get talking, they check my blood pressure, and I'm fucking back to like 140 over 90 or something. So how you doing, Greggy? What's going on?
Not a whole lot. My youngest just left for school.
How old is she?
She'll be 18 in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a senior in high school. She's graduating. And then my oldest, I told you, is graduating USC in May. So...
You know, I've known Greg for 40 years. You know, we grew up together. He's cousins to another caller on the show, Danny B. That's how tight we are. We're that much connected in this town. And Greg invited me to his daughter's graduation. She's graduating from USC with double majors. And he's very proud, and he should be. But it was funny. Greg and I were talking last night in the middle of a conversation. He says he wanted to call and do the podcast. And I go, call tomorrow, because... we're going to talk about something. I knew Greg 35 years ago. 35 years ago right now, I was just bringing you back to the base in the Bronx with three other gorillas in the car doing our last line before we dropped you off. And did you ever think that at that time there was any way that we would be having this conversation 30 years from now?
No. No, not at all.
Do you think when I was in that car 30 years ago, I'd be saying to you, do you think 30 years ago when you were getting out of that car, I'd be saying to you, hey, man, after this line, I'm going to get it together and I'm going to have a movie and shoot a movie with De Niro in 30 years? Did you ever think that? That's where I was, you know, Greggy. I was in New Orleans. I played De Niro's boxing coach. Did you know that, Greg?
I thought you were down there doing a couple of shows. I didn't know you were doing a movie.
No, I did a couple of shows, but I did a movie called Grudge Match with Sylvester Stallone, Robert De Niro, LL Cool J, Kevin Hart. And you know what? I'm very proud because I worked with the two best guineas ever. Now I just got to get Al Pacino in there, and I worked with the fucking trio. Now I got to start working with the Jews again. I got Sandler, Alan Arkin. Now I got to get some other people. But 30 years ago, I didn't think I was going to say, as we did that, you know when you do coke, you talk all that garbage? Man,
yeah.
After tonight, I'm never going to do it again. I'm going to go to acting class, and I'm going to do something with my life.
Likewise.
I never said that to you. I told you I was probably going to get my life together and move to Colorado, but it's just really weird where we're in our lives right now, what we're doing and where we were. And I want you to tell people that we had belief, brother.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you. I'm telling you, I love telling people, hey, I went to school with that guy. It's like when I went to see you up in Ontario and I found those two nice ladies out there. And
you always find nice ladies, Greg.
Yeah. 50 years old. I still got it, bro.
You still got it.
But I was like, hey, you guys want to go to the show? I know the guy. I went to school with him. They're like, shut up. I'm like, no, come on. And then you called me, and we went in the back door. I would have taken them home, but they're my daughter's age. I felt like a dirty old bastard.
Oh, you are a dirty old bastard. But it's just weird, the things we saw, Greg. Did you ever, I mean, Greg, I got to be honest with you. After I got off the phone with you, I started thinking at that time, if I would have killed myself with blow, I think I would have been happy. Like, I got to be honest with you. At that time in my life when we were doing that, we're talking about 84, 83,
yeah,
85, when cocaine was still cocaine, and I had that fucking pain from my mother and the pain of not knowing. You're 20 years old, and we didn't know. We didn't know what our next fucking step was. And I thought about after I got off the phone.
A lot of us that got really caught up in it bad was because of some type of pain in our lives that was just buried. So that was our escape, you know, getting all banged up.
But fucking all of us. I mean, you know, Conti always had that pain about his dad leaving.
Yep.
You know, Fernie. Yep. I mean, it was just a Holloway. You know, it was just so many of us that were involved in that. And I tell you, man, at that time, it was like I was just snorting to die. Like, I thought I would have an OD and just die, and that would be the end of it. I'd be with my mother and father, and I'd never have to worry about it. I never thought about 30 years. I never thought about being in a union. I mean, after you got out of all that, did you have belief, Greg? I mean, what kept you going? Why aren't you snorting coke today? Why aren't we snorting coke with tattoos on, telling stories till 8 in the morning? Why aren't we doing that today?
You know, I just got sick of it. I mean, I didn't need any rehab or anything like that. It was actually when my ex-wife was pregnant with my first daughter, and I was out on a binge for a few days, and then I just looked at myself in the mirror and I said, what the fuck am I doing? I got a kid coming into this world. You know, it was like that's when I stopped being irresponsible, when she was probably about 6 months pregnant. And then it was after that I looked in the mirror and I just said, I'm done, and that was it. And I never went back. Never, not once.
No rehab, no hugs, no meetings, no bongo drums.
No,
fucking people
shit.
Crying. You just made a decision and you stuck to it. And you know,
exactly.
It's so weird, man. When I fucking make it, you know, they say that people from northern Italy have hard heads. Germans have hard heads. Let me tell you something. When I make a fucking decision, it's done. There ain't no fucking coming back, a la 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 la, nor. And it's just amazing that you talk to people. I talk to people now that have been in rehab 8 times, and they're still drinking. My friend called me the other day at 3 in the afternoon, New Orleans time, which is 1 o'clock L.A. time. Hammond! Meanwhile, she's in an outpatient program. I don't get how...
You know, the rehabs are a bunch of shit, dude. They don't even work. There's less than a 5% success rate with the rehabs. You know, it's all about they fuck with your head. They tell you have this disease, and you have it for the rest of your life, and it's bullshit. There's no disease concept. You wake up, you make a fucking choice every day. You're either gonna make a choice, I'm gonna get loaded, or I'm not. You know,
I'm gonna suck dick, or I'm gonna get my dick sucked.
That's all it is to me.
No, hey, listen, man, I went to a rehab when I was in prison. When they had me in the halfway house, I was still selling blow. And I talked them into fucking putting me in an outpatient, which I was selling blow and getting my dick sucked at the outpatient. The girl's name was Patrice Twining. And I would look at her, and she would look at me, and we'd go outside, and she'd suck my dick, and we'd go right back into the group meeting. She'd have that sperm breath, and we'd talk about whatever the fuck pain she had in her heart with that sperm breath. And it was a joke to me. It was a fucking, all that shit was a joke to me. When I divorced my wife, they made me take P-test. I got to the fucking guy who got P-test and said, listen, test me for everything except blow and reefer. And he went for it. I would, you know, it never ended. Eight balls, looking under counters. When I was in Boulder, my drug disease was horrible. And I took it to Seattle. And then once I came here, it hit an all-time fucking high. And I couldn't wait to do comedy and get the fuck out of it. It was like I had a firecracker in my ass. I would get on stage and right from the stage, go to the car. I would stop by the fucking dude's house and right to the house to snort. And that was my life. And it was like in the back, every time you do it, it seems like, yeah, I want to fucking die. That's what it is. You want to die. You're putting yourself in that death range. So, I don't know, Greg. We're lucky to fucking be here, my friend.
Yes, we are. There's so many coke stories we could tell. I mean, I could tell you probably got a lot more than I do, but so many. And when you say we're lucky to be alive, you're not kidding, dude. You really are not kidding. And if it wasn't the blow that was going to kill us, it was the lifestyle we were living. You know, we could have got shot, stabbed, anything. You know.
I remember robbing a guy in West New York.
My friends over on Amsterdam Avenue, bro. I remember jumping roofs when the fucking DEA stormed one of the crack houses that I was in with the Angelo and Chris Costa. We were getting a quarter ounce. And they just fucking stormed in the fucking building. And we went up to the roof and just started hopping roofs. And we made it out of there, believe it or not.
No.
One of many stories.
I told this on stage at the Testicle Testament, the story about Gabi Lan, my godfather, who I fronted 2 ounces, 4 ounces, 6 ounces of blow on Halloween night and took it to Ascalise's basement. And we did. I snorted till fucking Wednesday, Greg, from Saturday to like Wednesday. I was in a hotel room just sleeping for fucking 2 days. And I finally got up to TikTok on Tunley Avenue, that tip top with the jacuzzi that the Hindus owned. And I walked up that hill, and he started chasing me with a motorcycle. And I had to go through the bushes at Our Lady of Fatima. And the rose bushes out there, and I ripped all my skin up, and I went to Hashways. And they came in the Hashways to get me, this guy. And he was yelling and screaming. He was crazy Cuban guy. And he told me he was going to shoot me. And then Pete Lieb called me one day, like 3 months later. He's like, dog, I was at a party. And there were these
Pete Lieb?
Yeah, this is 3 months later.
I was going to ask you about him last night.
Pete Lieb and Mary Lou McGuire. No, man, I had to stop talking to them.
Harry Reggiano, Alan Stiglitz, any of those guys.
Well, this is what happened. I was very tight with Pete Lieb. And I got into work for Hashways. I borrowed $200 from Mary Lou McGuire from my daughter. She was my original daughter's godmother, Mary Lou McGuire and Pete Lieb. Did you know that? They were Jacqueline's godparents. They came out to Boulder, baptized the child. We were always friends. And when I was in a hole, I asked Mary Lou for $200. Like February of 90, I asked her for $200. February of 92, I asked her for $200 for the baby. She goes, do you need anything for the party? I go, if you could send $200 so I could cater the party for the baby, it'd be fine. She was the godmother. Then in 94, when I was working at Hashways doing comedy, when I went back to Jersey, she approached me one day, and she goes, you still owe me $200 from the whatever. And I was like, I thought it was a gift. And I paid her the money. I didn't say nothing. Then when I got into the beef with Hashway, they took Hashway's side and called my ex-wife and said I was snorting coke. So I never talked to them again, ever again. The Perry Vigiano story, let me tell you something about that fucking douchebag. I always hated him when we were kids. Me and Runny were talking about, you know, Runny called the podcast about a month ago.
And which one, Steve or Mike?
Mike. I've had Mike call. Steve is retired. I'm trying to get him out here to do set security. But one night, Perry got into a fucking fight out here. Perry got into a fight at Hudson County Park with some guy, Rocky, that owned a diner in Fairview by Hudson County Park one night. And the guy beat the shit out of him, and it was over that girl. Peggy asked if it was over his girlfriend. And he wanted me to jump in against this guy, and I'm all fucked up, and I'm like, I'm not jumping in. This is your beef. So he told people I was a pussy, and I always got pissed off about that. I'm like, I was going to fight for you, Perry, you fucking piece of shit. He was like a rich kid. His dad was a gangster. And he started selling blow in 84. And one night he sold me some blow, and it was fucking cut. You know, like really bad. Like, you know, when you did Blow in 84, it was fucking tremendous what we were doing. It was all inositol. And I told him, and he told me to fuck off. So I robbed him. You know, in those days, if you told me to fuck off and you were a drug dealer, I went over there in the morning. You know, his aunt lived in the house. She was like sick and she lived in the house. I walked in the house with the aunt there. That's how light-footed I was. Went all the way to the attic, took like an eight ball or a half ounce that he had, and walked out.
Yeah, he lived up in the attic.
He lived in the attic. And about an hour later, I did it bright because it was right down the corner from Hashway's. So I stole his blow. He had cash there. I walked up to the Hashway's. I told Hashway I was broke. I needed money to go home. That was the setup right there, because that's where Perry would go first. He would go there looking for me to ask if I was around. So I went to Hashway's and borrowed money. That was the psychology. I got on the fucking, I had a ride home. I lived on 43rd Street then, by Sensulo and George Ketta and those guys downtown.
Yeah, and Helene Ketta just passed away, bro.
Who did?
Georgie's sister, Helene.
What did she die of?
I don't know. She went to the hospital like a week ago, and then she passed away. You know who told me? Gary Valanis told me.
Bro, that's where, you know, I used to date Helene Ketta.
Yeah, today is the wake at Rivera.
At Rivera?
At Rivera Funeral Home in North Bergen.
That's where they had my mother, Rivera Funeral Home. Why is she at the Spick fucking funeral parlor?
I don't know. Yeah, everybody goes to the Marys. I didn't. What George put out on the Facebook.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad. I dated her in the eighth grade. That's the first girl that gave me loving when my mother died. She came over the house that week. We were tight, me and Helene Ketta. She was beautiful. She had blue eyes, but she was troubled, and she started doing drugs, and when I last saw her, she didn't look good at all, like 20 years ago. She had gone from A to C, and I talked to her on Facebook, and, you know, she was still friendly to me and stuff. I'm really sad. I'm going to have to send... George Ketta was a good fucking dude. We played a lot of basketball together.
Yeah, good basketball player.
So fucking Perry, I take the eight ball, and I give some to Ronnie, so I got protection. Right off the bat, I go, Ronnie, because Ronnie hated Perry Vigiano. He beat him up once in 51st Street Park. So I waited for Perry by my house. I left the window open, and Perry, I heard the motorcycle pull up, I knew exactly how he thought. He was such a fucking moron. And he went to my house, and I left the window open. He stuck his foot in, right, Greg? And when he put his head into the window, when his head popped up, I came up, and I punched him right in the fucking face. And he's like, you're going up to see my aunt. She's going to let me know if you were the one that robbed my house. She said she saw you from behind. And when I went up there, the aunt goes, no, it wasn't him. So till this day, Perry, and I don't give a fuck. I'll say in the podcast, what's he going to do, beat me up? I'll fucking stab him in the neck. Now, what's he going to fucking do to me? I don't give a fuck. Fucking douchebag that he was. He was a fucking cocksucker then. He's probably a cocksucker now, so. Greg, we had a lot of fucking good times and shit, man. And at least we're still living. I mean, Kurt DiLorenzo is fucking, you know, he's got one foot in the grave, one a banana peel. Half of those guys down there in Miami are done, and I'm really proud of you, Greg.
I thought he was doing better. Digger sent me a text a while back, and he said, I guess you had done a show there. It was a while ago, not the one that you just did, but... He said that he went to see you and had a good time.
Yeah.
Kurt's doing better now. That's what he told me in a text message.
Well, he's not doing heroin, you know. He's eating pills and he's drinking. I mean, when you see Kurt, it's like a life thrown away. When you see Kurt DiLorenzo, you understand how lucky you are. Because when we were kids, Kurt was the best-looking kid around. He was in shape. He had money.
He
had a family.
He was, like, fucking all rocked out. He was such in good shape and, you know, one of the best wrestlers in the high school and... He would never fuck around. You couldn't even get him to drink a beer.
And if you see him now, you can't even believe he's Kurt. Last time I saw him in 99.
That's what I heard. If the fucking wind blows, he'll fall over.
You can't even believe it. When I went to his house, I could not believe. This kid used to be the cleanest kid in the world. He didn't have a shower, Kurt. He didn't have a kitchen. He had sold all the appliances out of the kitchen. All it was a refrigerator and beer bottles. So, listen, man, I had you call in today just to show where we started and where we got to. Because we're fucking lucky, Greg. We're fucking lucky, man. You know that guy that used to own Joe and Mary's was a loan shark, a big-time mob loan shark with another friend of ours. I owed that guy like $40,000.
Oh, George?
Yeah, George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
He used to give me loans and a check, and I would have to take them to a certain bank, cash him, and the bank guy would take his piece out. This is how connected George of the Jungle fucking was. So if he'd give me a check for $500, I'd get $450. Because the guy at the bank would take his $50 off the top for cashing a check for you. At the bank, that they're supposed to cash.
And then you still got
to
pay the VIG on the $5.
And I had to pay $750 on $5. You know how many times I went to him and said, listen, Greg Schmidt got Tasia pregnant and she needs an abortion and she's ashamed to borrow the $500. Lend me the $5, give me a commission, and I'll give it to Tasia under my name. And he would keep giving it to me. Me and Conti had George at like maybe $25,000 apiece. I remember a cop coming in there one night. I think you were there one night for John Kelly's birthday or one of those. And an undercover cop came in.
What night wasn't I there?
And he flashed his badge. They bought us an ice cream cake, but there was 8 balls of Coke, so nobody was eating. At the end of the night, the ice cream cake was fucking melted. Nobody had touched it. That, remember, she had the dog Lila. We used to piss on the dog.
Ronnie was there that night.
Too, Ronnie was there. Everybody was fucking there. Yeah. And this cop came in.
He got all fucking crazy, and he like fucking tongue-kissed me that night.
Let me tell you something. I seen Ronnie throw a beer bottle one night at the Bustamante's and a bunch of people in there one night. It was fucking classic. He ripped up his sheet. I seen some great shit go down in there. But this one night, I seen an undercover cop flash fucking George. And George goes, let me see the badge and what your name is on it. And the guy put it close and bad. And George spit on the fucking badge. He goes, you better go back to your precinct and ask around who the fuck you're showing a badge to, and walked on the guy. I saw it.
So you know who fucking, one time I was leaving Joe and Mary's, and you know, we went to school with this guy, and he wound up staying on the force. Remember John Sanford?
John, no.
John Sanford.
No, I don't.
Became a cop with Bobby Bender, Joey Rail, and all of them, and Canella.
No.
Yeah, he was in my fucking home.
No, I don't. I don't remember him at all. I remember the other guys you mentioned. We were just talking about the Rail brothers, and
yeah. But I was coming out of Joe and Mary's one time, and he like fucking started harassing me and shit. Like fucking did like a little pat down and a search, and I'm like, John, really? Come on, bro. All of a sudden, you're a cop now, and you fucking. You know, anyway, he kind of let me go, and he said, you better watch it. This place is going down. That place never went down.
And the place is still there. It's a Spanish place now. Jose and Maria's. Used to be Joe and Mary's. Now it's Jose and Maria's.
Costa Rican or Guatemalan.
And it used to be next to one of the chicken joints. John Cowan used to work in there. He'd bring buckets of fucking chickens in at night.
That's right.
Was the best bar in the world. Do you remember the fucking undercover cop that started going up there and giving us blow? And he would take us back to his house and show us the jewelry. He was looking for us to rob him. And then like a year later, somebody killed them, so they started hanging out at Joe and Mary's because they thought they killed them there. And that's when I left. That's basically when I left. This black guy that would take us up to Fort Lee.
And I think I was already gone.
You were already gone?
I left in 87.
Oh, I left in 84 and then came back in 80. I left in 83, came back in 84, kept the party alive till New Year's, and then left in June of 85. And the last day I left, I was leaving People's Express. And I took a bus to White Castle, and I was going to take a bus from White Castle to Jersey City to Roger Holloway was taking me to the airport. And as I was standing right there, this is how lucky I am to be alive. I'm standing by the White Castle, and Gabby, the guy I fronted the fucking coke from a year early, October, for Halloween, that threatened to kill me, that Pete Lieb told me that some people were talking at a party, that some Cuban guys looking for cocoa. That was the Cuban guy. I'm standing there on the corner waiting for the bus, and this motorcycle pulls up next to me, and he flashes his face up. And he goes, you never gave me that fucking money, did you? And it was my godfather. And he goes, the next time I see you, I'm going to put a bullet in your fucking leg. And I thought he went home to get the gun right there because I had luggage. I figured he knew I had time. I had luggage next to me. I was leaving. I was going back to Colorado, and I was never fucking coming back. But, Greg, I'm happy you called today, and I'm very proud of you. And I'm very proud that...
proud of you, bro.
I love you with all my fucking heart, and I'm happy you you have two daughters and everything changed for you, and... here we are.
I'll actually be in North Bergen on the... we're leaving... just me and my oldest, we're going for a week. We'll be there on the 4th of May. I'm going to go visit Danny B and see some family at the Yankee game. And
just to hit these motherfuckers with some things, the new president of the CIA is from North Bergen. Grew up in North Bergen, went to school at St. Joe's of West New York. William Freach, who was the investigator on the Penn State thing, who was also in charge of the FBI, is also from North Bergen, also went to St. Joe's of West New York. So not
my
all bad...
went to St. Joe's in West
not all you know, fucking savages came
from St. Joe's.
Oh, please. St. Joe's is the spot.
You know what my father got thrown out of high school for?
What's that?
Dealing condoms, bro. This was in the 50s.
He was a condom dealer.
Selling condoms in fucking high school, in Catholic high school, and they expelled him.
We want to get a piece of pussy in there. We got to call Greg's father. I love you, cocksucker. Give J-Mo a hug.
I will.
And I'll see you before the 17th, man. I'm proud of you. Stay black.
All right, Coco. Love you, buddy.
I love you, buddy. Take care.
All right,
bye-bye. That's a crazy motherfucker. I'm very sad about that Helene Keller girl. See, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
She was 2 years younger than me, 3 years younger than me. I met her at John Bender's pool, and we were always tight with each other. We always kissed and shit like that. So she was quite the whatever. Unbelievable. Good podcast today. I'm happy you were part of it today.
Thanks,
it's great to be back here and be with you people. Monday, we go back to the same rotation, Monday and Wednesday. I'm in Sacramento next Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get your motherfucking tickets. Miami, April 19th. The Ice House Chronicles live. Ice House Testicle Testament is Lee, myself, and Vinnie Curto, a live podcast.
Bam.
And remember what I told you. Just because it's March fucking 15th, like me, I'm starting today. Today, I'm going to kickboxing, water, I'm back. That's it. It's over. But it's never too late. Go to Onnit. You want to lose some weight, you want to keep fucking your bones in shape, you're a fat fuck, get the hemp protein, start off with that. Start off light. Just start off with the strong bone. Give that 3 weeks and just walk around for 3 weeks. If it don't work, say, Joey, you're a sack of shit, but it's going to work. You're going to feel better about yourself. Get out there, walk, breathe. It's beautiful. I know it's cold, Joe. Get the fuck out there, cocksuckers. Hit me with some music. I love you, man. Thank you very much for supporting the fucking podcast. All my fucking shout outs. I love you, motherfuckers. New Orleans. You were gentlemen's Dan, fucking Chef Rob. I love you, Nola. Jake, I'll catch you down there next time. It's not that I was avoiding you guys. It's just I was shooting a movie and nobody knew what the fucking hours were. But I love you guys. Lee, keep juicing. You're looking good. You're healthy. I'm proud of you, cocksucker. You're stuck to it. And that's what it's all about. We talked about it. I put the same fucking videos up, but I do it every day. Little commitments become big commitments. Get out there. Tell somebody to suck your dick today. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Stay black. Hit it, Lee. Since I've been loving you, my life's even changed, cocksucker. Hit it.